Maury Rose, a two-time winner, takes the lead from Faulkner. That's the way they finish the first lap.
It's Schumacher! It's Schumacher!
The Brazilian and the Colombian driver, I couldn't help it, said, and take that. Oh my goodness. Well, Nelson Piquet, understandably, livid with rage.
Committee meeting about it, stick it on and send him out.
Well, this has blown it for Irvine, blown it for Ferrari. I don't know what's happened.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Matt is here. We have Formula One to discuss today. Austrian Grand Prix Round 1 recap. I am not going to try to speak German again. And then we will preview Round 2 there. Oh, I don't know about you, man, but definitely one of the less exciting races we've had this year.
I think it had some captivating parts, but I think it lacked a certain something. I don't know what that would be, but it kind of lacked the it factor that would make it like a great race.
Yeah, listen, it's not the worst race ever, and not every race is going to be a barn burner or something crazy happening. So that's okay. It's still a cool track to watch, but I don't, where do you want to start with this one? Actually, let's start with this. So the Mercedes keeps alleging that Red Bull is, you know, they're doing all these engine upgrades that technically aren't allowed because the engine upgrades are pretty minimal, if zero, during the season. Red Bull says we've just got a better rear wing than Mercedes. And then Mercedes says we're not doing any more upgrades this year. Toto Wolff kind of walked that one back already. So after one round in Austria, which side is more believable, Red Bull or Mercedes?
I don't trust Mercedes as far as I can throw them. Now, I'm not saying that maybe Red Bull isn't up to some sinister shit, but I don't know. I think it's just a bunch of politicking. And one thing I want to discuss with you maybe later on, but we can segue to that. But Mercedes said they weren't going to upgrade the car, and then Red Bull came out and they said they were shocked that they weren't going to upgrade the car. But now apparently Mercedes is going to be bringing upgrades. Aero and I can't remember what other area they're focusing on, but apparently they're bringing more upgrades now, which goes against everything they've told us. So I don't know. I just feel like I can't trust Mercedes. I think they're playing, you know, poor sport or whatever. And, you know, for the first time in 8 years, it's not going their way. So I don't know. I tend to be on Christian Horner's side in this situation.
Yeah, listen, Christian Horner has done plenty of politicking and complaining in the years of Mercedes dominance. But, I mean, this year Mercedes is getting flat out beat, and it seems like they just can't accept that. And I don't really have too much else to add other than what you said. They say right after the race, oh man, I don't know if we have an upgrade. Lewis says, I hope we have an upgrade. And then come today, Tuesday, I think earlier today, it might have been Toto Wolff said, actually, we've got some stuff we're working on. No, it wasn't Toto Wolff. It was somebody right below him, I think. Either way, they're kind of...
Is that the tire changer?
Yeah.
Who's below Toto Wolff?
Everybody, that's a good point. The guy, James Allison, I don't know why that name is coming to my head right now. But anyway, back to the actual race itself. Outside of Bottas making up positions during the race, which is mind-blowing, what stood out to you good and bad this week or last weekend?
Well, can we talk about how Bottas had to make up positions because of a certain thing?
Oh, yeah. Let's start there. What'd you think of the penalty call?
I mean, well, first of all, glad everybody's okay, because it's not a joking matter when, you know, people are in danger in the pits. So glad he didn't run it into anybody, first and foremost. But you can't help but laugh, like, after the fact, knowing that nothing really happened. That A, he got a penalty, and then B, Netflix is there shooting the Drive to Survive series with Mercedes this weekend. So grab your popcorn, because that's going to make for a very fascinating feature within the show. And I can guarantee there's going to be some sort of segue from that incident into announcing George Russell. I think you can book that now. I don't know what the rules specifically say. Maybe you've read up on it, but it might be a little harsh. But at the same time, he is putting people in danger, which is not okay. So that's kind of a clown thing to happen at the peak of motorsport.
Yeah, I haven't read the rule, but I have read just about every article imaginable on the rule and the ruling directive itself that came out. And it's hard to argue with the penalty being called, because you know the penalty essentially said it was an unsafe move to do on pit lane, and I don't know how you really argue with that. And if you kind of break it down even further from that, why on God's green earth are we practicing a new way to launch out of the pit stall in freaking practice? Like, that is something you do, like, in the preseason, testing, when at the end of the season. You're there on practice to get prepared for qualifying and the race. I don't think you can learn something magical on a Friday practice where the conditions, probably in pit lane and on the track, were not representative of what they were the rest of the weekend anyway. So I just don't get the point, but I agree with the penalty, just judging by the little blurb that the FIA puts out when they come down with a penalty. They said, listen, this was really unsafe. Even if McLaren didn't complain to the race, to Michael Massey, they were still going to look into it. So, we can stop any McLaren conspiracy theories, which I think Bottas said, oh, other teams are out to always screw you over. Now, maybe you just screwed yourself over here, bro.
Well, no, it's never a driver's fault, Mike. Come on. And
right.
Everybody's
Who am I
always
kidding?
Out to get Mercedes. Yeah. Another thing that stood out to me, well, obviously, we got to see kind of another installment of Verstappen versus Hamilton. And I don't know. I think you predicted before the season Verstappen was going to win the title. So good for you. Looking pretty good. We got a long season to go. But for scientific reasons that I can't explain, they brought a new diffuser to the first Austrian race. They took what they brought to Monaco, which had like a gurney flap or something on the diffuser, and they added serrated edges, which is better in many scientific and mathematical ways.
So that's your way of saying you're not sure how, but it is.
Move over, Marshall Pruitt. I got this.
So, yes, there are people out there who are better explaining this than either of us. I have really tried to read as many articles as I can this year just to educate myself. And essentially, it all boils down to when the air hits the rear wing, it wants to propel that air downward to create downforce. Science.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of what I said.
Yeah, totally.
It is.
I'm just helping you out.
I feel like half of my life is inspired by Jeremy Clarkson. And he does that all the time on Top Gear, where he says pop-up headlamps are better for reasons unknown to man, but they just are better. And you know what? Red Bull brings a serrated diffuser to the Austrian Grand Prix and then lead every single lap. I'm going to assume that had something to do with it. It probably helped. It didn't hurt. So, yeah. Science. That's kind of just my MO. But George Russell, I can talk about that. How sad was that? Qualified 10th, gets to choose his set of tires for free because Yuki Tsunoda was a clown in qualifying. And, yeah, what was it? It was pneumatic pressure, which I didn't even know was a thing anymore. So there we go again. I suck at just kind of all areas of technology in Formula One. But that used to be like a 80s and 90s thing where people were retiring from that.
Yeah, I honestly kind of forgot about it because it's not something you hear is an issue too often. But when it's an issue, it's a major issue. And it was, I was sitting watching the race with my dad this weekend, and like, wow, George Russell's up to, was he was up to 7th or 8th? I forget what the
highest
he
was. About 8th, yeah.
But he was closing in on Ricardo and 7th in the early laps before, I guess, the pneumatic pressure issue kicked in. And on that first pit stop, you're going, holy shit, this is an 18-second pit stop. They really screwed up. And then the next lap, he's back in the pits, and you're going, oh, no. Like, you know at that point there's something majorly wrong. And I don't even think they had quite figured it out on the broadcast yet. I wasn't really listening to in-car radio this weekend, so I wasn't listening to when they diagnosed it. But, god damn, you feel bad for him.
Yeah. But I think optimism is that they get to do this all again this weekend, and hopefully their head whittler has figured it out so they can avoid this problem again. And otherwise, yeah, his pace was looking really good. Qualifying was actually halfway decent for once. I think it was really funny that Nicholas Latifi's lap sent shockwaves through the paddock in Q1. That was kind of funny. But, I think we'll see maybe a halfway decent performance from him again this weekend because we get to do it all again. So, oh, and I guess the one other thing we could probably discuss is Leclerc and Gasly. And you thought no penalty on the incident in the first lap was good or not good.
I don't have an issue with a no penalty being called. It's the first lap. It's the first two corners. Crazy stuff always happens there. It was a little reckless, but there really wasn't too much I think Leclerc could have done because they were essentially three wide. So it's a tough call, but I think it's one of those racing incidents. It's a shame that, you know, a flat tire for Gasly led to him having to slow down and couldn't control the car, and then he kind of bounced off like every other car in the rear of the field and obviously had the suspension damage on one of his tires. I don't even remember which one, but it was, I don't know, you know, on close to the same topic, I don't know if I would give Leclerc driver of the day because the only reason he went from the back of the field to the front of the field was because of his own mistake. Like, I know people, you know, just see, oh, he rebounded and he did great. And listen, he did have a hell of a day. He did recover very well, but he only recovered very well because he screwed up at the beginning. Or he had a mistake at the beginning. I don't want to put that much harshness on him. But, yeah, I'm okay with no penalty.
Remember when John Scott made the NHL All-Star game? We need to kick fan-voted driver of the day to the sun and not have it be a thing anymore. Max Verstappen led 71 freaking laps and won by 35 seconds, but we're giving it to Charles Leclerc, who finished it. And, like, yeah, he has some good overtakes. No discredit there. But he put himself in the position to be in the back of the field to begin with. So why would – or even, like, Norris, P5 – Ricardo, I know he had an engine issue, but P13, like, Norris is mopping the floor with Ricardo each week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a driver thing. He's leading Formula 1.5, as they call it, kind of the best of the rest. I don't know. I think fan-voted driver.
I mean, there are drivers, Kimi Raikkonen going from 18th to 11th, Tsunoda having a solid day and a points finish, Stroll moving up a couple spots into eighth, Carlos Sainz after a rough weekend, the weekend in France having a solid race, Lando, like you said, Bottas moved up a couple of positions and had a solid race, as much as it pains me to say that. I just feel like there were a lot more deserving characters for that.
For sure. So I do have an impromptu super duper secret host question that I wanted to segue into before we get to our predictions.
Yeah.
So I will say Nikita Mazepin last offseason, kind of a scumbag. We've documented that. Yep. We don't really need to spend too much more time on that, but kind of a never forget situation, but let's see how things play out. Nikita Mazepin as a driver, kind of a clown, can't stop spinning, is thoroughly being mopped by Schumacher on the track, just being rinsed. But I will say he does have a sense of humor to him. And as I was discussing to the guys in the league last night, It's a his what he's doing on social media is a perfect example of the strategy of if you don't like what people are saying, change the conversation. Which, for those out there who may understand that reference, and I pretty much love you if you do, is from Mad Men, the TV show. And so Gunther Steiner presented Mazepin with a Mazza spin top, a spinning top this weekend. And he put that on social media. And it's one of those things that people like, even if you hate the guy, you're going to sit there and laugh at it. And that's the kind of positive PR that can maybe get some people who hate you to not hate you, question mark. I mean, it's kind of what Ferrucci's been doing, too. It's taken him a long time to get some people around, but there will obviously be people who never forgive, which is how the world works, and we know that. Anyways, long-winded story to get to my question. So if we have a mocking gift of a Mazza spin to Nikita, what would your mock gift to me be?
Oh. Wow. Mock gift to you. There's a lot of ways I could take this. But I think...
Well, you can... Don't hold back. If you want to make fun of me, that's fine. I am giving you the floor.
You know, the problem is I was put on the spot and totally not expecting this, so I'm literally so caught off guard right now. Like, my mind is completely blank.
If you want to think on it for a week and then share with the folks next week what your mock gift for me would be that really attacks my soul.
Yeah, and I know you have a good sense of humor, so you won't be too sad. I mean, you kind of have to if you call me old every week.
What?
I quit.
I'm done. Yeah, so I thought that was pretty funny. So anyways, let's get to our picks here. Gasly, that's F. Although he was set up for a good day, I'll say. You had Tsunoda, 10th. Definitely was going to finish
respectable.
Behind Gasly. Things panned out. He only freaked out on the radio like 4 times this weekend. So bad. I had Sainz, which was a bad pick. Congrats to Carlos finishing P6. That was a solid effort. You had Fred, P9.
Nope.
Significantly better than Ocon this weekend. So I'd say on the verge of being an okay race. I'm not sure it was bad. Top 10. I had Russell. I was so disappointed. I was really looking smart there for a second.
I was actually very excited because I wanted you to be right on this one. I was okay with taking the L on this one.
Okay. Well, you got Vettel, so you can take the L anyways. And then making past Q1, I had Vettel, who's 14th, so he made it. You had Leclerc, who was 7th, so definitely made it. So, yeah. But now we got to do this all again. We got this like blueprint right in front of us for the next race. I think the only non...
Who was your driver of the day?
Grand Prix / but 1 second. The only non-Styrian Grand Prix / I don't know what other German name this next one. Do we know what this next one's called?
I'll pull it up while you're talking.
The only really kind of noteworthy news from the last week that wasn't about either race in Austria was the new Russian Grand Prix starting in 2023 at a new venue. It looks infinitely better, and they are, like I said, going there in 2023. They haven't ruled out alternating, so they may still swap back from Sochi to, it's called Agora Drive, this new race. I've seen a layout. I will say, on paper, it doesn't look terrible. I mean, it looks infinitely better than having it in a parking lot like Sochi.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listenersurvey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
But you never know. It could be a complete snooze. We just have to wait and see. But I do like the fact that they're hopefully kicking Sochi to the sun, because that is just a terrible track. So that is 2023. So I don't know if you have any thoughts about the potential for a Russian, good new Russian track.
I'm excited. The race promoter also said there is the possibility that they will switch between Sochi and Agora Drive going forward. It's something that is not, as he said, out of the question right now. So I hope Sochi is out of the question, but I mean, listen, I think it's one of those things that I'll be more excited about when we actually see the cars on track, but it looks promising on paper. And yeah, before we start previewing next week, we'll do our driver of the day, and then I'll try to butcher my best Austrian/German pronunciation of this week's race.
Yeah, driver of the day for me, as I sat here and ridiculed the fact that people didn't vote for Max, but sometimes we like to try to highlight some of the others in the field, because obviously Max was brilliant. So I'm going to give it to Carlos. I think for me, his drive was almost impeccable. And it sounds like Ferrari still have some issues with the car. So P6 with that, that's a solid effort.
I don't know if this has ever been done in the history of driver of the day in F1 side. I'm going to pick a guy who didn't finish in the points, in old man Kimi Raikkonen. He had a terrible qualified 18th or 19th, and finished 11th. And was only a lap down, there were plenty of guys at the rear of the field that were, there's a couple that were 2 and 3 laps down. So pretty good effort from Kimi. One of his better efforts this year, for sure. Your disappointment of Austrian Grand Prix round one.
I'm going to take his teammate in Antonio Giovinazzi. I think it was not the best day. I don't recall anything from the broadcast that went afoul for him. So I think it was just, I don't know if it was a pacing or strategy thing or what, but the fact that he outqualified his teammate but then stagnated in 15th even after two retirements. So that was kind of a theoretical 17th then, thereabouts. Not the best day for someone who I value pretty highly against his teammate.
It's not often lately I've been able to pick him, but Esteban Ocon, my man, qualified 17th, finished 14th, nowhere to be found versus your teammate pretty much all weekend. So Ocon gets the disappointment of the weekend for me, just because kind of like Giovinazzi, was just nowhere to be found after a string of pretty good races the last 4 or 5 races, I would guess. But real quick, there's one other thing that came out, I think a couple hours ago. Guan Yu Zhou is going to make his F1 practice debut in FP1 on Friday morning's practice at 5:30 a.m. Eastern time. So pretty cool to see one of the numerous Alpine drivers getting some seat time this weekend. I should say Alpine Academy drivers. I forget whatever they're called. But yeah, this weekend's race. Are you ready? We should have like a drum roll, but I don't have that on the soundboard.
I'm going to start calling you Mr. Butcher.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's also well-deserved. The BWT Grosser Preis von Österreich Grand Prix.
What was it this last weekend? It was Steiermark.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what say, the a little bit is. Of Irish flair.
Yeah, I got that. That's all I got there. And the race time and qualifying time is literally the same as last weekend. I think 9 a.m. for the qualifying and 9 a.m. for the race Eastern time. So we don't care about Central time and other time zones.
Excuse you. That's what you should give me. You should give me a clock in Eastern time. That should be your mock gift. Like,
I was thinking something more like cookbook related, like cookbook only with things like blue cheese chunk related, since you're such a blue cheese fan now.
Oh yeah, is it?
But
I mean, with the whole like pronunciations and whatnot, I think when we boil it down to its essentials, German is basically Gaelic, right?
Sure, totally. Whatever you say.
No, I'm totally joking there, but it's the fact that Steiermark could totally be a funny Irish word of some kind. I could be cussing in Irish right now, just not even know it.
I have a question for you before we move on.
Oh gosh.
It's very a quick one. Max Verstappen's victory burnout.
Oh,
I
was
talking
to
from
that.
Michael Mess. I know I just looked down at my notes here and realized it was in the wrong. I had it in the IndyCar notes for later. So you have an issue with it? You have an issue with the FIA saying no more?
And you know, I talked about this on Twitter with someone. It's just if you are coming to the line and someone is on your rear wing as you guys race to the finish, and then you do that, obviously unsafe, not warranted. There's people on the wall there that could get hurt, etc. So, which I bet in our lifetime is going to get banned. I guarantee at some point they're not going to be allowed to do that anymore. The crews are not going to be allowed to jump on the fence and wave their arms. I'm just waiting for that day.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it depends on the situation. The lapped car was way behind him. And if I'm Verstappen and Red Bull, I'm telling Massey to go shit in the ocean or something. Like, it's just like a parent wagging his finger at him, and it's just like for something that's not completely warranted. And if I were Max, I'd just go, you know, burn the Pirellis down once I get to the start finish line next week when I win.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty silly.
I would just cross the finish line so Michael Massey has a little bit less of an argument. I don't see the big deal. I think Michael Massey said, listen, Latifi was 3 seconds behind, even though Max was not on the racing line. It is, again, not
you
one
know,
of those
Latifi
things
who's going to go all the way to the wall to celebrate with his team for finishing, what, 17th?
Yeah, I think he was the third, second to last. He was at 17th,
last month.
Three laps down.
So, yeah, he's totally going to go and follow Verstappen to the wall. It's just really stupid. I forgot to bring that up. Thanks for bringing that up. Anyways, so, yes, Guan Yu Zhou debuting for Alpine in FP1. That's a noteworthy headline. And then really the only other thing that I noticed is that the tires will be softer for this race. So that will change strategy ever so slightly, which I do appreciate them doing in these doubleheaders, because it would be really boring if it was like the same laps, same condition, same circumstances. That would just not be fun, in my opinion. So if you don't have any thoughts on that, who is going to do good? Mr. I have the entire scoreboard from the last race up in front of me.
I actually took it down, ironically.
Oh, like I totally have it up 2 minutes ago. So I'm such a hypocrite, but anyways.
Yeah, screw you. Yeah, I'm glad they changed up the tires. I think that should lead to more people trying a two-stop strategy this weekend, so it should be interesting how it works out, but we shall see. Driver who's going to do well this weekend, let's give it to, well, if you're comparing it to last weekend, he couldn't do worse, so I'm going to give it to Pierre Gasly.
And I'm going to say, I was going to say Tsunoda. I just can't do it. do a swap.
That'd be 2 weeks in a row we picked the same team.
Yeah, I'm going to say that Leclerc doesn't have a failure on lap one and has a good race. So who does bad?
I'm going to go with Sebastian Vettel. I don't think Austria is made for the Aston Martin cars very well.
For those who can't see at home, Mike's face just went away, so my experience just got a lot better. I'm going to say that rare pick. I'm going to say Lando Norris has something go wrong and is going to have a bad day.
Wow.
Who's your dark horse top 10?
Dark horse top 10.
Don't say it.
Let's go.
Don't say it.
No. You know what? I'm going to go Daniel Ricciardo. He's pretty much a dark horse top 10 at this point.
I'm going to say Russell again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, if you picked him, it would be toast. And then dark horse to get out, or dark horse to stay into Q1. So I guess what is the opposite of a dark horse?
Bright horse? White horse? Everybody has now turned off this episode and go, you're an idiot.
Yeah, probably.
I'm just going to keep picking him until I'm right. I'm going to go with Fred.
Oh, your face is back. I'm going to say Danny Rick is not going to get out. I have too much faith in him right now. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, not too much, being that we don't have too much to preview the same race two weeks in a row. Let me ask you this. We'll close out with one final question here. So in IndyCar and NASCAR, when we talk about a doubleheader, it's two races on one weekend. F1 is calling this a triple header. When it's three weekends in a row, does that annoy you? Are we just being stupid Americans here?
It doesn't annoy me just because the logistical operation behind Formula One, and I guess I'm assuming teams brought the cars home, like rebuilt them real quick and then brought them back. And because of that, I think the triple header in the sense of what they're talking about just is like talking about the vaunting task of getting the cars home, packing them up real quick, and then bringing them back to another foreign country. So while it's not all on the same weekend, I can understand how it would be very tough for teams, and therefore they use the word triple header as like a euphemism for nightmare. So I get it.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if that's a savage answer that you were looking for, but...
No, but I appreciate that. Anyway, that's all we have Formula One related this weekend. Again, race 9 a.m. Sunday. Qualifying, I believe, is also 9 a.m. Sunday. Enjoy, guys. Have a lovely weekend of racing.
Stay ahead of the pack with the latest racing news and interviews from the Hammerdown Racing Report, your source for regional racing action as well as the national scene. Every week, we recap racing action from all around Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan and cover national racing series from the world of outlaws to NASCAR. Plus, get all the latest racing news. Join hosts Scott Hammer and Ron Miller, along with different featured guests each week. From dirt to asphalt, we have you covered. The Hammerdown Racing Report, available weekly on your favorite podcasting platform.